Lizzo, Ben and Kelly, and DJ X with a new album out. Hey there, Kelly. Good morning.
Hey there, Ben. Good morning.
Good weekend?
Yeah. How about you?
I saw Elvis. I don't know if you saw that movie or not, but
we did see it.
I thought, what was your take?
It was long. It was good. Austin Butler was amazing as Elvis. Also, I had no idea of the whole backstory behind Colonel Tom Parker.
Tom Hanks plays.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was giving him dirty looks during the entire movie. I'm like, this guy was awful.
Yeah, he was a little bit more evil than I anticipated. I will share in your, yes, I thought the movie was fantastic. I liked it. I enjoyed it. I guess I found out that Elvis never knew how much his manager was taking from him before he died.
Yes. That is just so sad.
Yeah.
From the very beginning, uh-huh. He was like, meal ticket, and just
totally
set it all used up him. From the very beginning.
Yep. Used him for sure.
Yeah.
I know. And it was wild how some of that stuff, you know, Baz Luhrmann, the director, kind of mixed in original footage with the movie, and I thought that was so fantastic.
Oh,
just
brilliant.
Like,
yeah,
dang, because you're right, Austin Butler just totally embodied Elvis.
He really did,
and transformed into him.
And you know, Harry Styles was wanting that role, and mm-hmm. Baz Luhrmann was saying it's not because he was a bad actor, it's because Harry Styles is already an icon, and you can't have like an icon playing an icon.
Mm.
And I think that was genius because Austin Butler isn't as widely known. I really had never heard of him before this.
Well, my daughters did because he starred in Sharpay's Trip to New York City or something like that.
Oh,
some movie from it was a spinoff of High School Musical about Sharpay, and they were like, oh my gosh, that's him.
Yep.
So that was totally a thing that they picked up on. But yeah, I mean, a really cool movie. I enjoyed it. The soundtrack is fantastic. And I just forgot how many bangers Elvis had back in the day.
His catalog, pretty amazing.
Yeah, pretty good. All right. So yeah, this morning we've got a bunch of stuff for you to get to. And then this hour, even feel good stories. We'll get to a little battle of jokes on the way with Laugh You Lose and then Toilet Iguanas before the end of the hour, all right?
Okay.
Good morning, guys. All right, feel good stories. Kelly K.
So Ms. Poe is a middle school health teacher who's getting a lot of attention for how she kind of reassures her students that grades are not everything. Mm. So she has them write anonymous roses and thorns post-it notes, which are, you know, one good thing that happened that week and one not so good. And then they go over them in class. So, for example, one kid said the worst part of the day was that it was Friday and they liked being in school more than being at home.
Mm.
So the class tossed out things they could do to, you know, lift that student up, not knowing, of course, who wrote that.
Do not stress yourself over grades. Grades don't define you. You could fail everything and be the smartest person in the room. You could fail out of school and be the most successful person. Grades do not define your success.
My students sometimes feel like they're in seventh grade and they think, oh, if I failed my math test, I'm not going to go to college. You have to work hard. That's what you have to do in life. Whatever it is, it's working hard and you'll be fine. But grades aren't everything. We're talking about anything that's really relevant in the students' lives. When I see certain things, sometimes I'm shocked and I think, like, what would I need to hear?
My family body shames me and it sucks. Every body, literal body, is different. Don't compare your body. Just take care of your body.
Sometimes they just want to be talked to more of a teenager or an adult. They don't want to be spoken to like a kid.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty great video. You can see that at WDJX.com.
New and we were secretly wanting, I think, to have happen. It was 99.7 DJX, and ever since Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck got back together.
I mean, 20 years in the making, she said.
We were kind of hoping. And in fact, they did tie the knot over the weekend.
I mean, I was hoping it would happen. I wasn't sure if it would, but I'm kind of like happy that it wasn't like, I mean, they haven't been back together all that long.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just decided, you know what? Let's go ahead and make this official this time, which is great. And she shared all about it with her fans on like her newsletter that they flew to Vegas, stood in line for a license with four other couples.
Yeah.
All making the same journey to the wedding capital of the world.
She did change her name to...
Yes, she did.
Yeah, to Jennifer Affleck. And we all knew this was going to happen because the internet dug up a video of her being interviewed like 20 years ago when they first got engaged and what would happen.
A week after you're married, what would your name be?
Jennifer Lopez, but my name will be Jennifer Affleck, obviously.
So what would your stationery say?
Jennifer Affleck.
Okay.
Yeah.
J-A. Jeff.
Jeff. Doesn't have quite the same ring to it.
Yeah, like literally that was 20 years ago, her talking about taking Ben's name. So.
Yep, she said, we barely made it to the Little White Wedding Chapel by midnight. They graciously stayed open late a few minutes, let us take pictures in a pink Cadillac convertible, evidently once used by the king himself. If we wanted Elvis himself to show up, that cost extra and he was in bed.
Yeah. I'll tell you, it really does go to show that it's about timing.
Yeah.
Being in the right place in your life at the right time to make it work. Because, you know, some people, you hear it all the time. It's like, you know what? We were just in two different places in our life.
Yep.
And that's the reason they broke up. And I think that's probably what they can look back on and say 20 years ago when it didn't work out the first time that, you know what, two different places in our life, both of them needed to mature a little bit more or whatever. And once they got back together, they're like, yeah, this feels right.
Yep. I hope this one is the one that sticks around for her.
Well, I think she's probably banking that too.
Yes. Yeah. And I honestly think he is in a much better place in his life too. He fought some demons and hopefully.
Yeah. He's beyond that.
This is going to be it for them.
Yeah. Well, congrats to them. We'll have more up on the website at WDJX.com.
On 99.7 DJX.
It's 99.7 DJX. That sound can only mean one thing. It is the time for the epic battle of You Laugh, You Lose, the game in which Kelly and I try to sling our best jokes back and forth. The first person who laughs loses. I am holding Kelly's trophy that she won last week. The score is 26-25. Kelly has the slight edge right now and the trophy.
You feel confident? Okay, I don't know what that means.
I'm acting like my youngest daughter when she gets mad.
Okay, well, all right. That's good. Well, let's see if you earn it back.
Oh, okay. Aha. Here we go. You laugh, you lose. First person to laugh loses. You ready?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, Kelly.
Yes.
You know, I had to fire the guy I hired to mow my lawn.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he just didn't cut it.
That's a problem, logistically speaking.
Logistically speaking, you're right, yes.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Ben.
Yeah.
My husband asked me if I wanted to join him for yoga.
Okay.
I replied, namaste here.
Namaste. Ah.
Namaste.
Very nice. Get that inner chi working.
Uh-huh.
Kelly, what do you call two octopuses that look the same?
Octopi? Octopuses? I don't know. What do you call them?
You cannot go down that hole right now, Kelly.
Octopuses?
You are not allowed to say... Okay, hang on. Let me start over. That was horrible. What do you call two octopuses that look the same?
What do you call them?
Identical.
Cute. I think it is octopi. Not sure.
We've had this conversation on the air before.
We did. Hey, Ben, you know toasters?
Uh-huh. I know them.
Toasters are really the first form of pop-up notifications.
Ah. They are. Yes, it's done. Kelly, I don't seem to have the enthusiasm to pass gas like I used to.
You need enthusiasm?
Yeah. In fact, the last few were very half-farted.
Instead of half-hearted. We'll see what you did there.
Thanks.
Hey, Ben.
Yeah?
My dad always said I loved alphabet soup growing up.
Uh-huh.
But it was really just him putting words in my mouth.
Ah, in the form of soup. Kelly, if you crash your car in your driveway, who do you have to blame?
Probably you.
You can't blame anyone else. That's your own asphalt.
your own asphalt. Yes. Yes. Really cute.
Thank you.
That was good.
Thank you.
Hey, Ben, I have a friend who tried to take a selfie in the shower, but the image was too blurry.
Oh.
He has selfie steam issues.
Sure does. Kelly, the police arrested my daughter, claiming she had burnt our house down, but it was arson. It was our son.
Yeah, I think that's not.
Our son.
Hey, Ben.
Yeah.
Why did doctors name them hemorrhoids?
Why?
Because asteroids was taken.
That was good.
Oh, you looked like, your face looked like you were almost there.
I was almost there. A mother shark is teaching her young one how to eat humans. Scary, right? First, she says, you go straight at him, circle him. Go straight at him again, you circle him. Finally, you go straight at him, and then you eat him. But mom, why can't I just eat them the first time around? Mama shark says, well, I suppose you can, but why would you want to eat them with all that crap still inside?
You worked hard for that, Sparky.
Get it?
Yeah. That was good.
Swim around him, scare it out.
I got it. Hey, Ben.
Yeah?
My friend just got a job doing circumcisions.
Tell me more.
Money isn't great, but he gets to keep the tips.
That was good. That was good. That was good. That was good. Well done. Well done. Well done. That was good.
I was almost there. I was about to blow.
That was good. That was good. Ha! All right. You laugh, you lose. Kelly's on a streak. What are you? You won.
I'm on a streak.
You won what?
I'm a great train of fun. Yeah, right
my
here.
Gosh. All right. There you go. You laugh, you lose. We're not going to say they're great jokes. We're just going to say they're jokes. All right.
Yep. They're jokes.
Here's your stupid trophy. Enjoy it.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're so pretty. On 99.7 DJX.
Here's what's coming up with Ben and Kelly on 99.7 DJX.
You know, typically bathrooms, not the place that we want to meet uninvited guests. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think we want to have alone time there.
Yeah, maybe a little bit of privacy.
Yes.
Parents within the sound of my voice know that that's not necessarily the case ever.
No, never. Or dog owners.
Oh, dog owners.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm telling you, if you don't have it latched, they find a way to wedge themselves in with their snout.
They just need to know you're okay.
Anyways,
you need my assistance.
I bring this up to say, listen, we have a Florida story and a bathroom story and a lady named Michelle coming up, okay?
Okay.
It's all one story, and it's your Setting the Bar story on the way here in just about 10 minutes. Hang on. It's Ben and Kelly, 99.7 DJX. You know, we go to Florida from time to time because weird, random things happen in that state that don't necessarily happen here.
Yeah, thank goodness for this one.
Yeah, you know, bathrooms are not a place that we want to meet uninvited guests, yeah?
No, yeah, absolutely. I want some privacy in there.
Yeah. So we're going to go to Florida and to Michelle's bathroom, where if you can manage to make it through the day without opening up your bathroom and finding an iguana staring you back in your face or using the toilet, you're doing okay.
Nope, 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 nope.
Yeah, a Mexican spiny-tailed iguana. I don't know if you know what those look like, but they're...
Yeah, they sound aggressive.
Well, and they're kind of big, too.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, look at the picture.
About a foot and a half, I'd say. Anyways, Michelle, wanting to make herself like a little snack, right?
Mm-hmm.
Goes downstairs, puts a popcorn in the microwave, uses the restroom, opens the door, and immediately shuts it. Why? Because...
Yeah.
Well, Iggy, the iguana, was using the toilet.
The thing is, like, taking up the entire bowl.
Yeah, so, like, she doesn't own one.
No.
This was just an uninvited guest where apparently, because after she called the exterminator to come and remove it, the exterminator, Harold, said, look, this isn't all an uncommon thing.
Yeah, it wasn't his first rodeo.
Right. I've done this plenty of times. In Florida, especially.
In fact, this week.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, you know, iguanas get stuck up in the pipes there, and then they find their way into your toilet.
They need smaller pipes, I think, right?
Or something.
I feel like they need to stop using iguana-sized pipes.
Right, because when you open the door to your bathroom and you find a toilet iguana there,
no,
that could be shocking.
Very shocking. And again, you should probably see the picture. We'll tweet it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, wow. I mean, this thing is like, They said males can get up to 18 inches long. Tail is also 18 inches long.
Yeah, it's big.
It's kind of curled around up in there. And
I mean, could you imagine if it'd almost be worse, right? If Michelle's house was a, you know, if it's yellow, let it mellow sort of house.
Oh, gosh. Oh, wow. Oh, God.
And I mean, because I've already got a cat that likes to drink out of the toilet.
Yeah, you
when it's open.
Leave stuff there, right?
And you know, it's we've caught the cat like sniffing at it when it's been, you know, the yellow let it mellow sort of thing.
Letting it
right,
mellow?
Right, exactly. And it's like, no. Yo, get out of there. And the cat's like, oh yeah, I didn't something didn't seem
the
right.
The cat's like, these people are disgusting.
Yeah, something didn't seem right about this water.
They are peeing in my water.
Well, I wasn't actually going to drink it, but I was just investigating it. So yeah, the poor iguana. Man, what if the iguana pops its head up and going, man, this is a little bit different.
Yeah, you know, no.
I mean, it wasn't too bad, like, underneath, but then once I broke the top, ooh.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
I would just, my biggest thing would be, like, ever going back in there and using that toilet again. I would just be super paranoid about something
popping
coming
in
up
while you're on it.
That way.
While you're on it.
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
All right. So again, if you can manage to make it through the day without finding an iguana in your toilet, then you're doing okay. You know,
I think we are safe around here, which is great news.
Yeah, I haven't found any. Maybe a snake. You might be able to find a snake in the toilet here, like some toilet snakes. Probably been lurking in Kentucky toilets before.
Oh God.
But there you go. All right, there you go. That is setting the bar on 99.7 EJX. So I'm on a group text with my in-laws. My brother and sister-in-law, both of them, and my wife, right? We all have kind of a group chat where mostly it's just, you know, information about the family. We share Wordle scores. We, you know, share pictures of, you know, things that are happening in our lives. You know, like typical group chat sort of stuff, right?
Yeah, I got a group chat with my parents and my sister.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Over the weekend, I shouldn't even say over the weekend. Yesterday, we got some news on the group chat that there was a death of some friends in my in-law's church. Okay.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So sad news. People kind of texted back their, you know, condolences and just like, oh, so very sorry, you know, all that stuff. So that was the latest in the group chat. So this morning, I go about my business, prepare for the show. And usually before the show starts, you know what I do.
Uh-huh.
I'll do my Wordle.
Uh-huh.
Just to get the juices going, which, by the way, got it in 4.
Great.
So I did what anybody does, and I shared it in the group chat. But then once I hit send, I realized that literally that was the first text from me. After
the sad news was shared in the text?
Yes. I didn't respond to the sad news.
Oh, you didn't respond at all?
No, my wife did. So I kind of thought that was like our...
you still
universal
chime in too.
So anyways, I didn't.
Okay.
And so the first thing that the group is going to see this morning is my Wordle score, 4 out of 6.
And they're going to be all like, hey, Ben, scroll up. Did you see previous interactions?
Yeah, so that's where I'm asking the question, like, what is the etiquette here? Because how long of a window has to pass before you can kind of go back to normal on your group chat?
That's a real good question. Because, yeah, is there some sort of like a buffer follow-up text to ease you back into normalcy after the sad news information?
Well, I did.
Okay, well, Wordle is it. I guess you're going to be the one that's going to test the waters on that.
I thrust us back in there when I texted my Wordle score.
Anyway,
to the group.
What was your Wordle score today?
Exactly. I felt, because as soon as I hit send, I was like, oh.
In other news?
In other news, I got 4 out of 6. Hey.
On my Wordle, yeah.
Look at me. Look at me. No yellows. Me. No yellows. All green.
Oh, wow. Oh, dang. Okay.
Yeah, so literally yesterday, the group chat was all about this tragic news.
And as I know you sent yours early, has anybody responded
no.
yet?
No.
Okay.
No.
So the verdict is going to be out on that until somebody responds. And then you can base on their response if you're okay. Or if they're going to say, hey, Ben, look up.
Yeah, I think it would be an unsaid thing if that was the case where, you know, my mother or my father-in-law would kind of be like, or my, one of my, brother or sister-in-laws would be like, but I don't know if they would text it or not.
Yeah, however, they probably won't.
I mean, I could see my...
They'll text Elizabeth behind your back.
Well, I could see my brother-in-law just following up this with his own Wordle score. And so then it's clear.
Yes.
Is it like the next day? Because I feel like maybe it's the next day that is the... It's almost like wipes the slate clean. It's like, okay, new text, new reset, new text thread. Yesterday was tragic news. Today, hey, let's all start fresh.
You know what? Maybe you're setting that tone right now. You didn't mean to set that tone, but you're going to.
Is that okay? So maybe that is the etiquette that we can kind of just agree on that.
Maybe. Now here, I will say this though. I would also from now on.
Mm-hmm.
Also chime in on news for yourself and not just assume that if your wife responds, everyone knows it's from the both of you. Unless she says, oh, Ben and I are so sorry.
No, she definitely didn't say that, but.
Okay. So it's the same way, like on Facebook, you know, if my husband's wishing like a family member a happy birthday, I also am going to do that. I'm not going to just say that's from both of us.
Yeah.
Like I will always respond. But now if we're sending a card, I write all of our names from the entire family.
Right.
But when you're like doing that on social media or text, I feel like you should go ahead and respond for yourself.
Okay, well, so should I
go back and say, by the way, so sorry.
So sorry to hear that news.
Is that, do you come back after the Wordle score and do that?
No,
I realize I didn't respond. I was thinking it. So sorry.
No, I don't think I can come back after the Wordle score.
Yeah, I don't think maybe.
I think I would have had to have done it beforehand. Yeah. And then had I caught myself, I would have probably said, hey, so sorry. But then I would have been sitting on sending that Wordle score. Yeah. And then it's like,
how long do you
wait until?
Maybe you text the question, hey, how long until I can share with you my Wordle score?
No, because that I feel like is even more callous if you just say, okay, hey, so sorry. By the way, we good now? Can I share how I got my Wordle?
Maybe then, no, you give yourself like yet another day buffer. If you should have started off today, but oh, I'm so sorry. By the way, I forgot to say this yesterday. I'm so sorry for your loss. Yeah. And then you hang on to today's Wordle score and then
until someone
tomorrow.
Else.
Yeah. Say, by the way, yesterday was this and today's this, my Wordle score.
Well, Kelly, you obviously are not a Wordle player because it's once a day. And so you can't really hang on to a score from
well, you
a
can.
Previous day.
You can say that, hey, yesterday I did this and today I did this, right?
No.
You can.
No, I wouldn't do that.
You still get a score for today. That still lives forever, right?
Kelly, I feel like that's more callous than actually not texting my condolences.
Oh, gosh. Either way, you're in an awkward little way. So now it all hinges on the first response from the group.
Okay.
Well, did you discuss this with your wife? Did she, or were you just thinking about that this morning?
I was just thinking about that this morning as I texted my Wordle score to the group chat.
Oh, by the way, Chrissy is now feeling like that she's in our group chat and needs to share her Wordle score with you. It's 5 out of 6.
Oh, yeah. See, I mean, like today was one. Today was an interesting one.
And she says, I didn't do as well as you, Ben. But you know what? We're here to lift you up, Chrissy.
No. Chrissy, you completed it. So you're fine.
Yes.
Yeah. Don't worry about
that. That's all that matters. The number doesn't matter.
Yeah. It's just that you completed it. All right. Well, anyways, thank you. Just needed some etiquette tips on the group chat there.
Oh, by the way, Heather does, she's rolling in with some actual advice. A couple of different points in the text messaging. Once your wife did respond, I think that does cover you in that response as well. 2, they were not direct relatives of anyone in your family. They were friends of your in-laws at their church. So I don't think this is insensitive at all.
Okay, so I
think you're in the clear.
Great.
And she says, you're covered if Elizabeth...
Listen, we do feel-good stories every single hour throughout the morning just to show you that, you know what, good happens in the world. Kelly King.
Absolutely. Now, this one, you know, kind of starts in a really sad place. Chloe Sexton and her sister Charlotte recently lost their mom to brain cancer. Now, Chloe is 20 years older than Charlotte.
Oh, wow.
And has always been like a second mom to her. Chloe shared on social media that, you know, her mom had battled brain cancer for most of Charlotte's life, which is why Charlotte never really had, like, a birthday party. So they were planning one. And even though all the kids in Charlotte's class knew that she lost her mom 83 days earlier, only one child RSVP'd for the party. And Charlotte's turning 8. So Chloe was devastated, talked about that on social media.
Fellow moms who were finding out that they live in the same city as me, who said, you know, I have a kid the same age as Charlotte. Can we come to the party? I got a woman named Libby, and she has a 22-year-old horse. And she asked, you know, can I bring her for pony rides? I said yes. Pretty much I just kept saying yes, so it became this enormous party.
Charlotte said the party was even more beautiful than she could have imagined.
I feel like it became something that was so much more than a birthday party. It changed my life. I think it saved something in me, which was that this was the first time that I ever saw people all over the world see an opportunity to show me that they cared about me and they saw me and to make it happen so that I didn't feel alone.
Oh,
isn't that amazing? Yeah, it ended up being like the what could have been a super sad day, you know, concentrating on the fact that their mom wasn't there, ended up being pretty incredible for both sisters. You can see their story. It's a tearjerker. Grab some tissues for some happy tears at WDJX.com.
When you need advice, come to Ben and Kelly. It's group therapy on 99.7 DJX.
Got a message from Josh on Facebook. He said, "Dear Ben and Kelly, unfortunately, several years ago, due to a medical error, I lost my eyesight."
Oh, dang.
"So as a result, it's put me back in the dating pool again after being out for 16 years. As of now, the only way I found to meet women is using a few dating apps that will work with my screen reading device. Now, I tried putting my visual impairment as a disclosure in my dating profile, as well as waiting until we get to a phone conversation to tell them I'm blind. Unfortunately, both avenues have had the same response by immediately ghosting me. Was wondering if your female viewers would have any recommendations on the best way to disclose my visual impairment and not be ghosted, as well as looking for any other recommendations on places to meet women with my visual impairment in mind. Any help would be greatly appreciated."
Man, that is a tough one because, and really, I think, you know, Josh's situation, albeit unique, is not completely foreign, where I think there are a lot of people who maybe have something about themselves, whether it be a disability or an impairment or something like that, that they're unsure of how to approach that when dating.
Absolutely. And I think he's been doing the right thing. I completely understand him wanting to put it out there from the very beginning because he doesn't ever want to be accused of misleading anyone.
Right.
But, you know, at the same time, if people are turned off immediately by that, they're not even giving them a chance to get to know him.
Yeah, I know. And it's tough to, like, walk that tightrope of, okay, bait and switch. You reel them in, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, yeah, and by the way, you know.
Yeah.
It's almost something where you want the person to be okay with.
Very beginning, know what you're signing up for.
Yeah, but see, part of it's like, okay.
But that doesn't define you.
Yeah, if they got to know you via dating app or texting, you know, via a dating app for several weeks and really started to like you as a person, and then you kind of made it to that stage, like the person that you're talking to is like, "Hey, have you seen the new Elvis?" And you're like, "Ah, funny story."
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And a lot of people on Facebook, Chelsea's actually just being pretty honest. Not everyone wants to date someone with an impairment, just like not everyone wants to date someone tall or brunette or someone in construction. It's just about personal preference. Dating apps aren't going to be great options for long-term relationships. Get a few buddies together, go to a bar, or try old-fashioned dating, or have a friend set you up with someone.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe this is an opportunity for you to lean on some friends for help. Yeah. With this, but I would love to hear your thoughts on this, not just your thoughts, but especially if you have dealt with either on the other side of that, where you were talking to someone and then found out either too late or at just the right time, you know, their disability or their impairment and how that affected you and your relationship with them. I think that could really help in Josh's situation here.
Yeah, this is really sad because it sounds like from the way he wrote it, this is like a double whammy for mm-hmm. him. The medical error causing him to lose his eyesight, and then sounds like he lost his relationship over it.
Yeah, so 502-571-9970. Tough one here with group therapy for Josh, where he's blind. He's having a hard time dating now because of it.
Due to a medical error.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that is tough enough to deal with. And he says, you know, in the past, he's tried dating apps. He's tried putting it in his profile. He's tried revealing it when conversations start, and he's been ghosted plenty of times. So he's just kind of wondering, all right, what is a better way to approach this without like misleading people and all that? Tara said, as far as different avenues of meeting people, there's several visually impaired people I follow on TikTok. Mm. I love seeing people break barriers and do the unexpected. One is a woodworker, turns into beautiful bowls. Another is a mother who lost vision in an autoimmune attack. Another skateboards. Social media can be a way to put yourself out there and show how you've handled your new life, but gives people a way to get to know your personality in more of a 3D way and not text.
Yeah, I do think a lot of the suggestions of, you know what, hang out with other blind people. And I think that could help.
Yeah, Tanya said birds of a feather flock together, mm-hmm. try activities with other blind people. Also, maybe if you don't have one, get a seeing eye dog or just a dog and hang out in a dog park regularly. You'll befriend people and will probably find someone willing to get to know you for who you are. And keep in mind, it's not going to happen overnight.
Yeah.
Sarah says, I work for American Printing House for the Blind.
Okay.
We've got a bunch of resources that may aid in your journey. And she gave a link, which is great. She said, personally, I think letting people know up front is important.
Yeah.
If they ghost you, they're not the type of people you want in your life anyway.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe you're sensitive to that because it's such a big part of who you are now.
It's a significant lifestyle change and how you got to live. And there may be a lot of people who just don't know, can't imagine what that would be like living with, and then feel overwhelmed, like, I'm not sure I could sign up for something like that. And that's why they just figure it's easier to not even get to know you to begin with than to find out it's too overwhelming.
Yeah. That, man, just don't get too down on yourself. You know, just the right person will come along.
Absolutely. And there are a lot of resources that a lot of people are tossing out, especially the American Printing House for the Blind.
Yeah.
Great resources there. You know, try to find a support group of people who are dealing with a similar situation.
Yeah. All right. Well, good luck. If you couldn't get through, or you have a comment and you're just not in a good spot to leave it, just we'll keep it up on the Facebook page at Ben and Kelly Show. You can leave your response and hopefully help Josh out here. That is group therapy.
Coming up on the Ben Davis and Kelly K Show.
I want to know, has anyone injured themselves trying to take a selfie?
I'm sure lots of people probably have.
I mean, I have a specific story to kind of go along with this, but I think it would be interesting to hear of your injuries involving taking a selfie.
So this isn't your personal example.
No, this isn't my personal example.
Okay, good.
No, this isn't me.
Okay.
For once. All right, so that's coming up here just after 8 here on 99.70JX. All right, Kelly, setting the bar stories. I guess this is going to start as a setting the bar story, okay?
Okay. This is an example of what not to do, or a situation we hope you don't find yourself in.
Look, the need to get that perfect selfie is something that's not foreign to many of us, yeah?
Uh-huh.
How far would you go for the gram?
Apparently, sounds like pretty far if we're talking about it now.
Yeah, if you can manage to make it through the day without falling into a volcano trying to get your selfie, you're doing okay.
Oh, wow.
Maybe you heard of Philip, who is 23 and he's from Maryland. He actually was trying to get a better selfie at the base of Mount Vesuvius.
Oh, wow. In Italy? Oh, gosh.
Yes. Trying to take a better photo there at the base near the summit, okay? So that's near the top, right? Now, there's a big crater because it's a frickin' volcano.
Right. It's 4,000 feet.
And now, look, there is a gate. There is a no-access sign. However, Philip needed something for the gram. Something.
We'll just go a little bit further.
Right. So he tried taking a selfie. Dropped his phone into the crater.
And, oh, God.
And that's when it started going downhill, no pun intended, for
literally
Philip. So he tried to recover it, slipped and fell, I mean, several feet, but fell into the crater.
Oh, gosh.
He managed to actually stop his fall, but he was stuck. And had he gone a little bit further, he could have plunged 300 meters into the pit of the crater.
That wouldn't have been good.
No, that wouldn't have turned out well for Philip. Wow. So anyways, I don't know if he got the great photo that he was searching for.
I have to think yes. But if he didn't recover the phone, he's going to have to go to the cloud. Find out.
But that reminds me of when I went to the gorge a couple years ago. And, you know, there are no fences. It's just pads there in the gorge, you know?
Yeah.
At Red River Gorge. And there are signs, however, that say, hey, beyond this, don't go off the path. You could die.
Okay, good. And I'm glad that they spell it out for you. Maybe they should have spelled it out for them a little bit, like no access, kind of like, okay.
Yeah. I mean, and at the time I was sitting there going, man, that got aggressive.
Yeah, but they're not playing around.
But they legit, like, had a like one of those signs with a circle with a strike through it of someone taking a selfie.
Yeah,
and
well.
So there have, you know.
Because the guys like Philip.
Right, exactly. There are plenty of injuries and even deaths of people who have fallen off these cliffs at the gorge every single year trying to take a selfie, trying to get close to those majestic views and then slip and fall.
It does make a beautiful picture, but let's not die for it.
I know.
Seriously. Well, in this case, too, apparently they didn't even pay for tickets, required to limit the number of people that are hiking to begin with on the trail. Mm-hmm. Then they took a prohibited path, just like mistake after mistake after mistake. Like, you know what? We're just going to climb this volcano on the DL. Tickets, not going to go on the path.
So I wanted
to make our own way.
I wanted to know, how have you injured yourself taking a selfie? Got a message from a listener who said, I broke my nose trying to take a selfie, holding my phone up above my head and looking up and accidentally slipping out of my hand.
Yeah, that hurts.
And dropping on my nose, cracked it right there.
Dang.
That
is painful.
That is painful. That's not like putting yourself into harm's way. That's just, you know, your phone slipping out of your hand. So anyways.
Selfie sticks would be a better thing for her.
Yeah. Setting the bar. Again, if you can manage to make it through the day without falling into a volcano trying to get your selfie, you're doing okay.
And maybe next time we come across a no access sign, maybe we trust it.
Yeah, that's it. By the way, I have a follow-up from an earlier story I told on the show about
your group text drama.
Yeah, the fact that I followed up a group chat with my family of some sad news of someone passing.
It wasn't an immediate family member. It was friends of your in-laws that go to their church.
Yes, exactly. With my Wordle score.
Uh-huh.
And
your wife said, so sorry for your loss.
Yeah.
But you didn't respond.
No.
So you're wondering, first of all, your question was twofold. A, is my wife responding good enough for, like, me to be included in that? And B, like, how much time needs to pass before we can get back to our normal topics of discussion?
Yes, exactly. And so it was kind of like my text of my Wordle score was the last thing that was in the whole group chat. And so
it was the first thing after the sad news.
Yes, exactly. And
yes.
And no one had followed
that. You did not acknowledge yourself.
No, exactly. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
So the update is my mother-in-law texted her Wordle score.
Well, there you go.
So I think we're
good.
You're
in the clear.
So I think we're good.
All right. Okay.
I just broke the ice.
We've also determined that you don't come back and just say, oh, by the way.
Yeah.
Sorry for your loss.
Yeah, exactly. When invited to a friend's house, you ask politely, hey, can I bring anything?
And I think there is a difference between like coming over for the afternoon or getting invited to a cottage for a weekend.
Mm, yeah.
Which is where we're at. Hey, Ben and Kelly, I was invited to go to a friend's cottage for the weekend with my family. Now, as a rule, I always ask, hey, is there anything I can bring?
Mm-hmm.
And my friend said, yes, it'd be great if you can bring some snacks, drinks, s'more stuff, pancake mix, meat for the grill, buns, some sides like corn on the cob, and breakfast foods, preferably bacon and eggs. Wow, is it just me or does that sound a bit extreme? Maybe I'm just overly hospitable, but if I invited someone to my cottage, I wouldn't expect them to bring bags of groceries.
Mm.
Now, I might say if your kids want a particular snack or they're picky eaters, you might want to bring such and such.
Yeah.
But I would never give anyone a grocery list. Am I wrong? And then the question remains, do I buy enough stuff to feed her crew of six as well as my family? I'm afraid to ask.
Oh, wow. That's a lot of groceries.
It is. It's quite a lot. And you know what? We got a few, I think, really good comments about this on Facebook. First of all, Lindsay is like, I think I'm the oddball. If someone's inviting me to stay somewhere out of town, a condo, cabin, cottage, whatever it may be, I'm saving XYZ amount of money, not having to pay for my own lodging. I'd be more than happy to provide groceries in exchange for that.
Yeah, you know, I think I'm kind of the same way. Now, maybe our listener was a little taken aback because of, like, typically that would be something that would have come up before the text of, hey, can I bring anything? It would be more of the initial offer, like, hey, why don't you come spend the weekend at our cabin? You know, you could bring some food and we'll bring some food and I don't know, something like that.
Yeah, that's what Elizabeth is saying on Facebook. She said, when making initial arrangements, I would have asked how they usually did things, like ordering out, cooking big meals, making sandwiches. Once I have that information, then mm-hmm. I would be like, so do you want me to grab a day's worth of groceries? You guys get the other day or how you want to do that? She said, I feel like being invited to someone's vacation home for the weekend is a little bit different than being invited over to their house. She said, I'm pretty okay with making sure I bring lots of stuff my family prefers along with that list. I actually feel like that would make my visit more comfortable. If I didn't bring that stuff, I would almost feel like our kids or I needed to ask permission to grab snacks or eat certain things. I'd feel more comfortable if we bought it, then we'd have free access.
Yeah, Bethany texts us and says, I feel like if you're spending that much on groceries, you might as well just stay in an Airbnb. You're going to spend just as much. You're still not going to spend
the money. Well, you're not in this situation. They're not paying for lodging.
Right, lodging.
Like, they are staying for free at their friend's cabin.
Mm.
So I think because of that, they should go ahead and provide some more groceries, or at least even offer. Say, hey, since you're letting us stay there, how about we pitch in some groceries?
You know, I think I wouldn't, and this is just me, but I wouldn't at this stage of the game ruffle feathers. I would just do it.
Yeah.
And then chalk it up to, all right, maybe next time I find out ahead of time what my obligation is.
Yes. In going into it, and when you think about it, the fact that if you were renting a cottage for the weekend, mm-hmm. you'd have to pay for the rental. You're not
right.
paying that.
Right.
Because of that, you could spend a little bit more on the food.
I don't know. I'm saying suck it up and just do it.
If this was just, hey, want to come over tomorrow afternoon for a cookout, and they give you the entire grocery list,
yeah,
that's a little overboard.
That's a little sus, for sure.
But when they're inviting you to stay for free at their family cabin for the weekend, I don't think that's a bad thing to ask for.
And I would, and maybe it's just me, and I would almost expect there to be something that they're providing in addition to their cabin, you know?
Like,
I don't know, alcohol, desserts.
Oh, okay.
You know, if I'm bringing all the food, maybe you're providing the booze and the place to stay. You know, I don't know.
Okay. Well, yeah, maybe just work that out when they initially invite you. You say, okay, all right, cool. So how you want to do the food? Like, do you guys have things stocked there? Do you want us to pitch in for groceries? Are we going to eat out a lot? Yeah, I think that's a really good way to, like Elizabeth suggested, is just hash that out at the very beginning.
All right, there you go. At Ben and Kelly Show, if you want to get our opinion on something, we're diving into the DMs there.
You're buying the groceries, you know you're going to get the stuff you like.
That's right.
So that's good.
That's right. Legally for years. And I'm talking about fishing without a license.
Okay, yeah. On vacation every year, you go do this?
Yeah, and
with reckless abandon
right,
for the law?
Right, and a couple years ago, I told a story on the air how I caught like a little rainbow trout. It was just a small little thing, but it wound up costing me $90 because the Fish and Wildlife wardens came walking up the dock and
can I see your license?
Yeah, exactly. I was like, I don't have one. They're like, didn't you see the sign? I was like, yep, I saw the sign. He was like, well, yeah. So
yep, and I ignored that sign.
I ignored the sign. Yeah, exactly. So I felt so like liberated when I bought a fishing license on vacation, and I was almost. It's one of those moments where once you're legal, I'm like hoping Fish and Wildlife comes and is like, yo, can I see your license? I'm like, yep. right here.
Yep, I'm legit now. Yes, yes, you can, sir.
I know. It's a more freeing way to live, I guess. When
how much does the license cost?
I mean, it certainly wasn't $90. In the fine, I think it was $15 a day, or it was like $25 for a 3-day pass or something like that. So
okay, anyways. So that's a lot cheaper.
Yeah, exactly. So. I did, and
also there's shame that comes with the fine. You can't really put a price tag on that.
No, and then when you got to explain to your daughter every single time you fish after that moment.
Daddy's breaking the law right now.
Hey, do you have a license? And I'm like, no, but I'm helping you, so it's fine. No, but I was legal this time. And
now, can she hold the pole legally?
Yeah, under 16. No license required. This is in the state of Ohio. I don't know what it is in Kentucky. I haven't bought a fishing license in Kentucky. So I don't know I typically don't fish but once a year. And when I do, on vacation at Lake Erie in Ohio. So
okay.
I don't know the fishing laws in Kentucky or southern Indiana to be able to answer that question. But under 16 in Ohio, and you're free to go without a license. So
really, you could have just hid behind Zoe every single year you were doing it illegally. Just like she's the one fishing.
Well, yes,
she doesn't need a license.
not to not to exhume old skeletons in the closet, but I couldn't give that excuse when I got busted because they beat me to the punch by saying, we've been watching you for a while, and while we do allow you to help a child fish, you were doing more than just helping.
It was a sting operation.
Oh, it totally was.
You were under surveillance.
But tell you, Kelly, I don't want to get into a fish story because we all have those fish stories. I don't know. Are you a fisher?
I've never fished.
You've never fished?
No.
Okay. I caught several, and several that were more than just like little things. I caught some pretty big fish.
No, is this catch and release, or frying them up for dinner?
No. Catch and release. So, you know, caught a couple rainbow trout, caught a couple, caught a smallmouth bass. Caught a couple of them actually, and you know those. It's so liberating to be like, yeah, and you know it's really carnage because it's like you're sticking a hook right through the fish's mouth.
Kind of mean.
I know,
especially just for sport, and you're like, hey, thanks, buddy, and you put him back in the water.
I know, thanks. Wow, this was fun.
Hope that'll heal up fine.
I know, and then you take the hook out of the mouth and toss it back in, and
ow.
And literally, I did this to my daughter, and she pulled in a rainbow trout. I took it off the hook. We tossed it back in. I caught the exact same one about 10 minutes later.
That fish had a death wish. You should have just had it for dinner.
But I'll tell you, I put my hook in the lake, and I thought I caught a snag. That's where your line just catches on a rock, and then you wound up having to pull it, and you lose your hook and bait and all that stuff, and you just got to rehook your line and everything. So I like start to pull it, and I realized that the snag was kind of moving.
Well, I got a live one here.
This one's like a Jaws moment here. This is a big fish. And I'm like, hey, Elizabeth, come over here. And so she comes over. She's like, what do you got? I'm like, I don't know. I got something big. And so I start to reel it in. And Kelly, I'm trying not to exaggerate, but this catfish that I wound up hooking on my line has not only seen some things, it was an old catfish. I mean, it was scarred up. It had seen some stuff. It probably had hooks already in it. And it was, I kid you not, probably about 2 feet long.
It was probably an icon in the community.
It was one of those fish that was like, I've seen some things.
I was like, boy. You're going to take this hook out and you're going to put me right back in with my best life.
Right, exactly. Right, that's right. And so, you know, I'm trying to reel it in. It catches the attention of people that are there on the dock. They're like, oh, what'd you get? I'm like, I got a catfish. I got a live one. And I don't have a net. And so, you know, the real fishermen, they come with nets. They come with like...
They have gear.
Stuff. Right, exactly. Yeah. I don't have any of that stuff because I'm not a real fisherman. I just come once a year and do my thing, right?
Uh-huh.
So,
hey, I got a license to have this thing.
Right. But the thing I'm thinking beyond just, wow, this is a big fish, is what am I going to do when I get it up?
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to have to, like, stick my hand on it and try to, like, take the hook out because it could bite me. And
can somebody help me with this?
I know. I don't want to look like a sissy when I pull this thing up and be like, okay, can someone else help me with this fish?
It was apparent that you were not a seasoned
fisherman, right? And my wife, she caught a video of it. She was like, Ben, I think we just need to cut the line and let the thing go. And I was like, no. Oh,
cut the line so then he's got to, like, live with the hook?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 for sure.
Oh,
so anyways, I get it up almost to the dock, and then, yep, it breaks the line itself, and it falls back into the lake. And so they're...
I was like, sorry, buddy.
And I know. I was like, all right. And the fish is like, yeah, I won this time. You tell your buddies up on shore, those hooks don't scare me.
He's going to go back to his little catfish friends like, yeah, I got another one. It's just like another, like, piercing badge
of honor. I know, that's what it is. It's like a badge of honor. It's like, yep, got another hook there in the cheek.
Oh, my gosh.
As you're maybe getting ready to head into work, wouldn't it be great if there was actually a place to take a nap at your place of work?
That'd be fantastic. A nap room would be amazing.
Well, there's a company in Japan that is setting up nap boxes and is going to give workers a place to take power naps. Here's the thing, though. They're not very big, and you got to sleep standing up.
I'm sorry, back the truck up? We're sleeping standing up? How is that even going to work?
Yeah, so a picture like a water heater, like your hot water heater at your house.
Uh-huh.
And it's got, like, a door on the front, and so... there's like three little shelves inside strategically placed to kind of support your knees and your head and your butt.
No, sir.
But you're partially supported, but you're still kind of like napping straight up. And they claim it's comfortable.
Oh, come on.
That sounds
so not comfortable.
Well, anyways.
So the opposite of comfortable.
It's in the early stages, so they really haven't even demonstrated it yet. They're just working on this sort of device for...
listen,
a company.
For anyone that deals with claustrophobia, that's a no-go. Like, no, set up a room with some cots, let them lie down for a little bit, nap room.
So apparently this all came about because employees at this company would take naps in the bathroom. They wanted to give them kind of a better option. And I'm thinking, man, I have fallen asleep on the toilet before, but that's never been here at work.
Wow.
Like, you know, like if I...
did you not fall over eventually?
Well, no.
I feel like, you know, having that kind of balance while you're sleeping is impressive.
Oh, no. I'm sitting. I'm not standing and doing it.
Right, so, but aren't you just eventually leaning... because you're leaning over if you're sleeping, right? Aren't you kind of leaning over?
No, just kind of slumped
still
over.
Sitting up.
No, just kind of slumped over forward
right,
a little bit.
Right, and aren't you just eventually just going to tumble off?
Well, I'm not doing it for a whole lot of time. It's almost maybe even less than 30 seconds, but it's like
just
where
a little cat nap, and then when you start to fall, then you wake up.
Yeah, like, I drift off a little bit. But
yeah.
So this company is trying to figure out like ways that workers can still nap. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, yeah, you know, because of our hours, you know, I get to be around 1, 2, 3 o'clock and my body's like, yeah, you probably should take a nap.
Catch a couple winks real quick, little power nap. Listen, I mean, hospitals have like, don't they have on-call rooms? If I learned anything from watching Grey's Anatomy for years, they have on-call rooms where you can go and take a nap. Got a little bed, little cot, right? Set that up. If you have a problem with employees falling asleep on the job, and it's one of those things where that maybe they work longer or work weird hours or whatever, set up a room. Put a couple cots in there, a little quiet room. There you go. But boxes where you have to sleep sitting up, that's insane. That's insane.
Hmm.
That can't be restful.
So are you...
I'm poo-pooing the sleep boxes.
So
just set a room aside, put some cots in there, and let them go take a nap there. Lay down.
So if your company offered that as opposed to... they're not giving you a room with a cot. They're giving
you
that or nothing. You have that or nothing.
Yeah, no, I'm not sleeping in the sleep box. Sorry.
I'm just not sleeping like
a coffin.
I'm not sleeping at work. Like, I feel like I am just getting my work done and I'm leaving, going home.
Yes, that too.
Anyways.
That's a way better option. Just get your stuff done.
We'll tweet
and go home.
The story out. You can see this rendering of these nap boxes.
That's insane.
Ben and Kelly Show. When we do our Setting the Bar segment, these are always examples of what not to do. We set the bar very low for you.
Yeah, it's like a little hurdle, we're pretty confident you can leap over today and still have a win no matter what happens in your life.
So could you imagine committing the perfect crime? I mean, think like Mission Impossible. Think Ocean's 11, right?
Okay.
But then there's just two little factors that maybe didn't seem like a big deal in the moment,
but ended up ruining the whole thing.
Brought it all down.
Yeah.
Yeah. So setting the bar. If you can manage to make it through the day without having two mosquitoes be the reason you get busted, you're doing okay.
Mosquitoes?
Yep. This happened in China, and there was a burglary case that went down, right?
Uh-huh.
And authorities, as they were like looking around the apartment that had been burglarized, they found two squashed mosquitoes on the wall.
Okay.
No big deal, right? These detectives were on a hunch. They were just like, you know what? Let's just test the blood that are, you know, because mosquitoes, when you squash them, you know, like a little bit of blood splurts out, right?
So it was like blood spatter from the mosquitoes?
Well, it was like mosquitoes on the wall, and they were stuck there because it was like someone swatted them, right?
Right.
And so they decided, they're like, you know, let's just test the blood and see what the DNA comes back with. And guess what? They found a DNA match with a guy from the blood from these squashed mosquitoes. This guy,
that's how they found their perp?
They found this guy with a criminal record.
Oh, wow.
And so they're like, well, this guy with a criminal record's blood matches with the mosquitoes and the DNA that are in this crime scene. Let's talk to this guy.
Yeah.
So they brought him in. They questioned him and they confronted him with this and he confessed.
Wow. That's next level detective stuff right there.
Right.
To like, first of all, have the eagle eye to spot the squished mosquitoes. Mm-hmm. And then to think, hey, maybe this mosquito got a little snack off the person we're looking for.
Right, exactly. And
that is like ripped from a movie.
So not only did he confess to that burglary, but to several others in the area. So,
whoa.
Yep. Two squashed mosquitoes on the wall.
Several solved cases because two mosquitoes met their untimely demise on a wall.
Yep. The perfect crime foiled by two bugs.
That's crazy.
And that is your setting the bar story.
Well, maybe next time if you're going to show up to rob a place, spray a bunch of bug spray on you.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't do that. Yeah, Kelly's giving
you... Is that the moral of the story?
Yeah, Kelly's...
Make sure you spray bug repellent before you go burglarize a place.
Yeah, Kelly's kind of giving some hot tips for would-be burglars listening.
Let's back it up to let's not burglarize places.
All right, there you go. It's Ben and Kelly on 99.7 DJX. And man, saw the new movie Elvis over the weekend. Number 5 at the box office, by the way. Top Gun Maverick still in the top 5 there at number...
Is it really?
Yeah, number 4.
Wow.
Where the Crawdads Sing. That's number 3. That's based on that New York Times bestseller. Minions, The Rise of Gru.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Oh, did you see it?
I saw it.
That is number 2, and Thor Love and Thunder is number 1. I will say that my wife and daughter saw Elvis first without me, and then they were like, my wife was like, so good, you know, I'd see it again. And so we saw it yesterday as a family, but the theater was right next to The Rise of Gru, Minions The Rise of Gru, and my daughters were like,
did the daughters like Elvis? I kind of didn't peg that as being one that they would enjoy.
My youngest,
they didn't really know Elvis a lot, right?
No. My youngest was not as impressed as maybe some of the other, as my older two were. But yeah, I was very impressed by the movie. Now listen,
I was blown away by Austin Butler.
Uh-huh.
He completely embodied him.
Yep.
And the actress who played Priscilla. Amazing.
That is true.
Yeah, she was fantastic. And I was just completely unaware of the whole backstory behind his manager, Colonel Tom Parker.
Oh, my gosh.
And what a complete awful person he was. And I was like scowling at Tom Hanks the entire movie who played him. I'm just like, he's evil.
Which I could see both Tom Hanks and Austin Butler getting nominated for an Oscar with...
Oh, they should.
Best actor and supporting actor, because even though really the story is about Tom Hanks's character,
Yeah.
You know, I think Austin would be the lead actor, yeah?
I would think.
Yeah. But
I don't know. Who do you call the supporting actor? Who do you call the lead actor?
I mean, I think you call Tom Hanks the supporting actor almost.
Yeah, even though the story is told from his point of view.
Right, right. And
if you look at who's mostly in the movie, it's centered still around Elvis.
And if you see pictures of Tom Hanks's character, he embodies that character almost to a T.
Unrecognizable.
Oh my gosh, it's crazy.
So. Yeah, the makeup was real good on him.
Yeah. All right. So there you go. Hopefully you had a good weekend. You saw some good movies and stuff like that. Tomorrow on the show, we're going to have, we're going to dive into some more drama surrounding group therapy, which, you know, is kind of a thing that we do on the show every single day. So if you've ever got an issue that you want us to help you with, you can always message us, at Ben and Kelly Show. But this is kind of bizarre because I feel like we kind of had a situation similar to this.
A little bit, where he thought that he was engaged. Now, this situation, she isn't sure he proposed.
Okay.
So we got to help her figure that out.
Okay.
Based on the evidence. And then what do we do now?
Yep. So that is tomorrow. Hopefully you guys have a good one and we will talk to you then.
Okay, bye.